I want to explain why I replied with a yes when Pastor John asked me to preach today. I'm not a good or even decent seamstress, not involved with crafts of any kind. I'm not a gourmet cook, but I love to eat. Love music, can't sing a note. In fact, when I sing at home, my husband leaves the room. Only God is listening. Please bear with me, for I have a confession to make. I'm in the midst of a love affair. Yes, a love affair. A love affair with words. They don't have to be long, complicated words. I just want them to be meaningful. When I explained to my dear husband the message that I wanted to share with you today, his suggestion was, don't use the title God's World Yesterday and Today. He suggested I use the following titles: Heavenly Days, talking about all that is good, and Holy Smoke, discussing all that is evil in our world. He also said that it's a good thing I don't preach all the time. As long as it took me to write this, we would only have church once a month. Now, on a glorious note, God felt good about his creation of the world and the people he made in his image, in his likeness. He was pleased with his work. What have we done to God's creation? We have misused and abused and corrupted his world. It insults all that he desires for us. We must strive to make a world a place that honors him. Our world is complex, made up of many religions, many races, many cultures, many likes and dislikes, and many different opinions. Nevertheless, our Father hopes that we would embrace all of the differences that we observe in others and set aside our prejudiced thoughts and actions. God is offended when he hears his children judge one another. He blesses us all with gifts, even those that we would consider different from us, because he loves us all. We live in a society where we have all kinds of gadgets. I sometimes wonder if it really makes our lives easier, or does it create more new problems than it solves? The TV remote, the garage door remote are about all I can handle. Oh, I do have a $10 a month cell phone. You can imagine how good a cell phone that is. But I can use it. In our distracted state, we stop thinking, we conform, and we remain silent. We lose sight of what we really want to accomplish or understand. We have, for the most part, become a society that at times just don't give a damn. Sad as it may be, it's true. Let's turn around and be less worldly and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. He will show us how to carry forth his desires for us. We try to take control away from God, thinking that, we will be in a better place. Not true. We wear ourselves out trying to control. If we were totally in control of our lives, we would certainly eliminate anything that's painful. We wouldn't want difficulties of any kind. Therefore, we would not grow spiritually. So how would we develop faith and rely on God? When we put our trust in him, he won't turn his back on us. We have to listen and become mindful of his presence. This simple act can create an intimacy with our Savior. He's patiently waiting. His continual presence is a promise to us. This promise is a guarantee that we never have to be alone. When we turn our life over to his loving care, he expects us to do our part. We have to work hard to carry forth his desires for us. While reading the daily journal, my daily devotional, Jesus Calling, part of my reading on June 17th was, learn to laugh at yourself more freely. Relax and know that I am God with you. Find freedom by accepting the boundaries of your domain. Laughter lightens your load and lifts your heart into heavenly places. Your laughter rises to heaven and blends with angelic melodies of praise. Just as parents delight in the laughter of their children, so I delight in hearing my children laugh. I rejoice when you trust me enough to enjoy your life lightheartedly. Pastor John has talked a lot about observing the Sabbath recently, and he explained the necessity for rest and that God desires it to be sacred. Observing the Sabbath is a commandment. The Ten Commandments are God's law for us to live by. This thought brings me to a discussion that I had with my sister Carol. She has a degree in biblical studies. Therefore, you can imagine that some of what she shares with me goes right over my head. I wanted to explore the Old and New Covenants with 1,000 questions I needed answered. She remained patient. I so respect my sister, and as I drove home, I was aware of how much of God's Word that I need to study further. I think I need to go back to Sunday School 101 and sit on the steps with the little children. I could probably get down there on a Sunday morning with the little children, but I'd need them to help me get up. The covenants are not to be confused with God's commandments. The covenants are God's promises to his children and the people he loves. The old covenants were very strict and impossible for God's people to follow. He knew this and declared that there would be a new covenant that would follow and that we could embrace. Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. The old covenant under Moses and the new covenant in Christ, the differences were quite revealing. The old covenant stated limited promises, and the new covenant states limitless promise. Limitless promises, therefore we can trust God's promises to us. The old covenant stated limited access to God. The new covenant states unlimited access to God. Therefore, God is always there and personally available. The old covenant states forgiveness earned. The new covenant states forgiveness freely given. Therefore, we all have total and complete forgiveness. The old covenant stated available to some. The new covenant states available to all. Therefore, it is always available to you and to me. The assumptions that we have about others are often not true. This is how prejudice begins and then escalates into hate and mistrust and ends with offensive language and actions, sometimes even crimes, resulting in the death of others. People who have lived in oppression most or all of their lives are profoundly changed. They don't react to the situations that you and I would hope. They react in negative, sometimes horrific ways. They impose their oppression onto others. That is all they know. Protests have become extremely violent. We all watched in horror at the mass shooting in Orlando several weeks ago. It took place in an LGBT nightclub, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. I'm sure these thoughts and ideas of the LGBT community are new for many of us. Just as mass killings are not part of how we think, let alone how to wrap our minds around special guns that have the capacity to shoot bullet after bullet, making it possible to kill as many people as it possibly can quickly. Access to powerful weapons is way too easy. Body after lifeless body, removed from a bloody scene, while cries of pain and disbelief rang out all over the nation. It ends with identifying the dead and families saying goodbye to their loved ones. In the midst of the pain, many were fixed only on blame, losing sight of the victims and their families. An article in the paper by Marnie Jameson titled Channel the Positive, and she says, and I quote, "The community is stronger for this. Orlando is finding comfort in giving comfort. They are putting home back into hometown, and they are restoring what makes them feel connected and secure." God wants his world to have empathy for all humanity. There is no room for prejudice in our Trinity life. How many candles do we have to light? remembering lives lost at the hands of violence. Now we can add Dallas to our list. Now, on a happier note, I want to share a special event that took place here at Trinity well over a year ago. My second cousin, Tanya Baker, was married to a man that we all love. This was a wedding day for Tanya. As I sat with my husband, sister, and her husband, I looked over our sanctuary with awe. It was all black and white. You see, she married a wonderful black man. His best man was an American Indian who offered a prayer for the couple at the reception, first in his native tongue and then in English. White hands holding black hands, black embracing white. God was so present. This is the world he wants for his children. Now, on a personal note, I take a balance class at the YMCA near my home. And as I got older, I found that balance became somewhat of a problem. When I asked my aerobic teacher about the class, she said, it's mainly Tai Chi. I told her, Marine, I'm a mover and a doer, and I'm not going to like Tai Chi. She said, just try it. Needless to say, I love it. It keeps me centered and focused. This is exactly what happens when we are mindful of our Heavenly Father. This is exactly what happens. Maureen is only with me a couple times a week. Our Lord and Savior is with us 24/7. It's a blessing that is always there just for the taking. God wants his children to lay in the folds of his loving arms and be totally with him. A handout was given at the first balance class after the mass shooting. It is titled, The Paradox of Our Times. These are a couple of the observations that I experienced and really enjoyed as I read the handout. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We have cleaned up the air, but polluted our souls. These are times of tall men and short character, steep profits and shallow relationships. And my very favorite, we talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We do talk a lot about nothing, and that's okay. The Bible teaches us that love is the greatest of all human qualities. And hate should be replaced with a realization that recognizes the darkness that dwells in others. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 reads, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." I spent the evening with a good friend who has been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. She's going through very, very aggressive treatment of chemo and radiation. She has no hair, but her beautiful face just beamed with her strong faith in a God who does find her to have great worth, without adornment or a single hair on her head. While in this difficult time of her life, she makes me realize how often we get caught up in, oh, bad hair days, and what should I wear? Our vanity becomes meaningless. The world news that we read in our newspapers or watch on television can, at times, overwhelm us with the stories of countries being overtaken by violent groups of people who destroy all that is in their way and then blow themselves up in order to kill as many people as possible. As we set all the horror aside, we once again are reminded of our American heritage. We have just celebrated the 4th of July. 240 years ago, our founding fathers declared independence from Great Britain, proclaiming that all of us are created equal. Is America becoming brittle, hung up on differences when the times really demand unity of purpose? Immigrants come in every color from all over the world. They are human beings just like you and me. America cannot be defined by just one color, nor should it. Our prayer is that it will protect the innocence of our children as we choose to honor our American values. an article in the Times Magazine by an author whose name I can't pronounce. He has been an immigrant for many years, and he stated, "My America opens its arms to the world. My America speaks many languages and knows when to hold its tongue. If we want to be great, we must create and recreate the United States over and over, a job for which immigrants are ideally suited. Their fate is America's as well. God bless America. Let freedom ring."